Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Joe, you ever do VR stuff?
Like... virtual reality. I can count on one hand. Like, it's not much. No.
You're missing out, man.
Why, did you do it this weekend?
Oh, no, we've had VR now at our house for, like, a few years.
Yeah, that's right.
But, like, finally, like, really getting into some of the stuff it offers.
Yeah.
Okay, you go to golf simulators. We talked about it. And it's not the same thing, but the VR golf's pretty darn good, too. It's pretty cool.
I could imagine.
The problem is finding a spot to swing a club, maybe. But they have these little like attachments you use, and it's like a club. It's not a real club.
I would
but it
be worried
feels
about
like one.
Not knowing my bearings and then hitting a wall by accident. It's kind of like a padded room, maybe.
I was going to show you this before we started. I'm just going to do this while I'm talking. There's a baseball one we're doing. This is Max swinging a baseball bat with a bat attachment.
Okay.
Okay, and you see him, right?
Yeah.
And then literally on my phone, I'm showing Joe this on, I can track it and watch what he's doing.
Oh,
that's
nice.
The technology. So I can see the pitcher pitching to him.
So you could coach him up a little bit.
Yeah. And I like exactly.
Elbow
like, why'd you go for that one?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was a ball. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The technology.
That's insane.
Right.
I have not done this. The coolest that the baseball one you're showing me now reminds me of who showed this off. Somebody in the NFL was showing the VR technology that they train for in the NFL, where you're like you're trying to see like. Coverages
yes,
and whatnot.
That's exactly what it is.
That's basically this for baseball.
And this is exactly, like, look at the pitch. Bam.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That was a single
and, like,
right there.
And now I'm actually learning also how to, I guess apparently I can kind of choose what pitch he sees.
Oh, you can?
Like, I can do
can
that. I haven't done that yet. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
But apparently you can do that. And I can be like, you throw him a fastball, throw him a curveball. And I want to kind of challenge him and be like, okay, you know, are you going to go for this, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing I've been doing, So I downloaded, I'm like, I need a good, because when I got my pacemaker, I couldn't work out for a while, I couldn't do stuff. And when you are working out and then you don't, you feel like, I'm a blob and I need to do something.
Yeah.
And I downloaded this body combat workout.
I was just in my head thinking, like, the thing I would want that for is, like,
oh my God.
Boxing. Like, boxing
it is
workout
kicking
or routine
my
or something
ass
like that. Yeah.
In a great way.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What
it's called Les Mills Body Combat.
Oh, body combat. Because when you said combat, I immediately thought like MMA fighting or something. Like
no, but you're learning. You're learning. Yeah. Like it's punching. It's boxing.
Yeah.
It's kickboxing.
Nice.
And like I get it on, and like you have to. I get up in the morning, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. And within like two like little sessions, just the sweat is dripping. And the other day, it's one of those deals where like I couldn't walk because I was so sore from doing the squatting up and punching and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
It's amazing.
You're making me want to get
one. The technology is incredible.
You're really making me want to get one. Get one with like a boxing thing. Can you actually like, I want one like you actually have a person across from you.
Oh, you could do that for sure. Yeah, yeah. I haven't downloaded it, but all that stuff is available to you now. Right? You got to check it out. So that's the new thing kind of I've been doing. It's pretty cool. And I was thinking, you saw all of these videos coming out this weekend of here comes Sean McDermott into the arena. Here comes Brandon Bean, the one Von Miller posted, right?
Yeah.
And all these other, so what happened? Was this Madden? Like, where did all this come from?
I don't actually know the source. I thought it was just an AI generated thing that someone created.
Okay, that could be it.
I think.
Now, I don't know if you guys mentioned
it was
this.
The fact that it was all the same video with like a different edit on each makes it a little weird. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so
for those that don't know, Von Miller was one who posted like on Instagram. It's like a video, it's like the new meme, whatever, of someone like walking out on stage in front of a giant crowd and like going nuts. And the Von post was what? Brandon Bean entering Bills Mafia after trading up for a receiver?
Yes, but part of the reason I brought this up, Von, that was originally posted by someone else. Breon Harris.
Oh, okay.
Who actually is one of the people who formed Bills Mafia with Del Reed. And Breon does a lot of this stuff. And apparently he posted it. And then Von took that video and put it on his Instagram. So there was a thing about it this weekend. So while everyone sees Von's
post. Stole it?
I would say kind of, yeah, sort of, yeah. I guess that's how you want to say it. But I don't think it was, like, I think he might have changed the way the graphics are with the actual.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But if you go to Breon's Twitter, I saw it from him first.
Right.
And then I saw Von, and people were like, wait a minute. Von took what you posted.
Von ripped it off.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you go to Bray's Twitter, Bray_88, I think is what it is. So I wanted to make sure because I saw everyone posting about what Von posted, but Von actually got that. That was actually from someone else's video.
Okay.
And that was Breon Harris who had posted about Brandon Bean walking out and, you know, wide receiver. Now, I want to give Bray credit, no doubt. But it does bring into question, what does Von know, if anything? He likes to pretend he knows things. Or is he just playing into the crowd?
I think he's a Bill. I think he's a Bills fan.
Right, yes.
He is.
Yes.
Right, like he's us. He is, you know, wanting to stoke the flames a little bit because of who he is. But does he know that they want to trade? I mean, he could, but if he didn't know, I feel like he would still post it, if that makes sense. If he likes the idea or thinks it's a cool idea and he doesn't know anything about their draft plans, I feel like he would still post that video. So he could know.
Right, I agree.
He could know, but I might want to bet that he's not in lockstep with every thought that Brandon Bean has right now about the draft.
Could this... So we just did, right before I came in the studio here, Matt Bove and I did a podcast with Brian Baldinger. It's actually up right now on YouTube. I'm going to go to my YouTube page, Sal Sports, on YouTube on the video. If you're a subscriber on the audio, it's going to be out shortly. It's in the process of being put out right now. But we just did it. I just posted it on video, and you can go check it out. And one of the things that has really come to light here with this draft process, we talk about receiver. We all know the Bills need a receiver. What's after that? Well, first of all, I think you can make a case, and we see now today UCLA edge rusher Leiatu Latu, I think is how you say it, mm-hmm. is visiting the Bills and the Eagles tomorrow. That is something I do think the Bills still need to be interested in, is adding to the pass rush. You know what's a really interesting polarizing position? Not polarizing from a standpoint of, I guess it could be polarizing from like who thinks they should or shouldn't. Joe, nationally, there's this thing that the Bills really, really have a need at corner. And locally, there's not.
Hmm.
Every time I talk to somebody nationally, they go, well, they still need a need. They have a need at corner. Do they have a need at corner? They don't as a start. I think it comes from people not knowing how good Christian Benford was last year.
That's what that was always my first thought when I saw that. So I, for the most part, think that's a big part of it. that, hey, the Bills would like to improve from Christian Benford, maybe. Like, sixth-round pick from a couple years ago. I don't really think they need to improve from Christian Benford. I think Christian Benford was a darn good corner for them. So, I don't see a short-term need. I do understand the long-term need, though. For, do you have... The same way you could say this about receiver. Do they have a Stephon Diggs replacement in the building right now? They do not.
No.
Do they have a Tre'Davious White replacement in the building right now? See, this is where it's like kind of a
half-answer. For one year, they do.
For 1 year, they do. Definitely. Rasul Douglas was playing at an all-pro level in the second half of last year. So for 1 year, the answer is yes. If you want to talk big picture, past that, the answer probably is no. I like Christian Benford a lot, but I think it's a bit of a reach to think he's that level of player. So, and Kyrie Elam, we'll see. Maybe they get a little bit of a comeback here, but I don't know. You definitely can't count on it. I get the long-term need for it. It just doesn't feel like a position that you need to tackle right now. You can wait on it. You can take that swing next year. You could draft a guy. If they drafted a second-round corner, I wouldn't be upset. If they went receiver in round one and decided the best player on the board is a corner in round two, then we're going to do that. I could get behind that. There's enough logic that it makes sense to me. The problem with me for corner as a need for round one is that position, I just don't think the guy is going to play unless there's an injury. And the position this team is in, Brandon Bean saying after the season that the new phase of this team is they're going to have to ask more of young players. If their first pick is a guy that is only playing if there's an injury, I don't think that makes a lot of sense for this team right now.
To jump back a little while ago, just before I forget this, thank you very much, Dominic, who tweets in, "Hey, Sal, the video we're talking about, the graphic thing with the guys coming out, it's an intro to a Lil Baby concert that became trendy after someone had an AI clip into it jumping around. The NFL Twitter then got a hold of it."
Okay.
Again, NFL Twitter fans.
Yeah, okay.
NFL fans on Twitter. Anyway, that's it. So it's a Lil Baby concert clip. Thank you, Dominic. I appreciate that. That is getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase here. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The question, the answer to this problem... corner and walking it through really to me comes down to, Joe, if they don't feel Kyer Elam can step into a serviceable role, then it becomes a much bigger need. Because then they have nobody behind the top two. Right. I like Jamarcus Ingram. You know that. I'm a Jamarcus Ingram guy.
Yep.
I'm not here to tell you Jamarcus Ingram needs to be their third corner, though. I like him for depth and I like his possibilities. But, Joe, if Kyer Elam doesn't translate, they have nobody after those guys. Cam Lewis isn't playing outside corner. He's a slot guy and a safety.
Right.
That's the issue. But we have no evidence to suggest either way right now whether they actually believe Kyer Elam can be that guy or they believe he can't be that guy, the way they've handled him, the way they've treated him. I would tell you this. I don't think they're going to go into the draft thinking he's not the guy. I think they'd be more on the side of, we still think we can get something out of him.
Right. And at the moment, what do you need out of him? You don't need him to be a regular starter. You need him to be depth.
Yes.
Right? Like, and often, yes, that guy probably has to play. That Dane Jackson has been that guy for... Has really Dane Jackson been that guy since he got here, pretty much?
Yes.
And he got into a lot of games. So it can happen. That's my question, too. Like, do they trust Elam enough to be a number three outside corner? Because I like Elam enough, and I think that he's actually been a little bit, you know, the bust narrative for him has been a little over exaggerated. I think Benford developing into the player he has kind of, you know, pushed that along. But I get it. He's been inconsistent at the least, and the Bills certainly don't act like they love him as a player. But do they like him enough to be a third guy? Because that's not a huge leap, I don't think. I mean,
well, the third guy last year had to play against Jacksonville and London and got torched.
That's true. He also had to play against Pittsburgh, though, and played pretty well. Little bit of a back and forth, but that's Kyrie, right?
Different, like, quarterback and passing offense too.
Very true. Bean, by the way, I don't know how much credit. I am an Elam truther, so it's fine. Like, I'm going to get labeled. Like, I'm just going to defend him at every corner. But I will point out, Bean did mention injury along the way for him.
He did.
Right?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I don't want to completely absolve him of every mistake he made. I mean, not being able to cover Ridley. He was horrible in that game, no doubt. If it were me, I would be fine with it. I think you let him be the number three. If you want to bring in a veteran, they do that a lot, right? Xavier Rhodes, Josh Norman, before it's been guys that are a little bit more, you know, better players at this point. They want to bring in some veteran fourth corner. Levi Wallace, I think, is still out there. And
he might. The latest was Denver, right?
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw him sign.
No,
though.
He didn't sign, as of right now, at
but
least.
If you want to put him in the room or have someone on speed dial like that, I think you can be okay. Without having to spend a premium asset on corner.
I had a name. I don't think it would happen, but...
Who?
I'm wondering what you thought. I'm glad you brought it up. You said Levi Wallace, and I'm like, oh, there was another guy I thought of. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Stephon Gilmore. He's a free agent.
He's available right now?
He's a free agent.
What was he... He was in Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay. He probably... is going to want to start somewhere, though, right? Well, I guess,
probably.
Though, if you get an injury and you don't want to start Elam, then you might call up Stephon Gilmore to come back.
Now, I would tell you, I mean, I don't think he's necessarily a man or a zone guy. He can play both. I think he'd probably, I mean, at this stage of his career, he'd probably be better at zone, but at the same time, I think he's more considered more of a man guy.
Yeah, I'm looking at his PFF stuff. PFF liked him at both last year.
There you go.
Pretty good at both. So,
all right. He's out there.
It's not like they traded him away. It's not like...
No, but there was a lot of stuff after he left. I think even his, his wife even tweeted a couple things like over the last, the year or two later. But look, I mean, he wants a job, right? And
He wants a job. Starting job somewhere.
I mean, he's played for the Bills, the Panthers, the Colts, and the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and the Patriots, by the way, of course.
It's just not high on my, needs list for them. I think you've got time. And who's to say, by the way, Rasul? I know corner is one of these positions where. You know, guys can hit the wall quick, kind of like receiver once you turn 30, maybe even more so, not as much as running back. But Gilmore, is like I just mentioned, he had a good year last year for Dallas, and he's 33 years old. So I don't know if you want to count on this, but it also is possible that Rasul Douglas just has a great season all year, and then what happens? He'll be 30 years old. He's 29 right now. He'll be 30 at the start of the year, though. So if Rasul Douglas... has a full season playing like he just played, what do we think is going to happen? They're bringing him back, right?
Yes.
They're not letting that get away from them. If he plays at the level he was just at for a full season, I think they are keeping Rasul Douglas, and then you can even push your corner spot down the road even more. Maybe Kyrie Elam's shown some signs of improvement if he's gotten in the games at all. So this is not top of mind for me. This is not if they loved a player... Like Cooper DeJean is one of these guys, right? That's mocked in the first round.
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
He's more of a safety, though,
right?
Isn't he?
Yeah, I think
but
you're
yeah,
right.
Kool-Aid
That's
McKinstry.
Right.
I've seen him listed as DB, so that could be both, maybe. I don't know. It's just not. It's
just
not near
Kool-Aid.
My favorite idea.
Just wanted to say Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. Yeah, it's a good name.
It is. It's
you
good
draft
name.
The guy named Kool-Aid, and it's yeah.
You better be good, by the way. If your name is Sauce,
yeah,
and you go to the NFL,
you better be.
You better
good.
Be good. Your name's Kool-Aid. You go to the NFL. Okay, so now I'm being told it's not Lil Baby, it's Lil Yachty.
Lil Yachty, yeah.
Lil Yachty, not okay. Lil Baby.
All right.
Okay. Well, I don't know
the
my
video,
difference between
video,
Lil Baby
way,
and Lil Yachty. I don't know the difference between the two. I'm learning.
Lil Baby doesn't exist, it's Da Baby.
Da Baby, yeah.
Oh, that's why.
You know what? How did I not catch that? You're right. Lil Baby. There's no Lil Baby? There's got to be
there's
a Lil Baby out there.
Maybe like
I know Da Baby is like he's the one, but
he's the guy.
There's no Lil Baby out there. Got to be.
Yeah. So that
if
was
not,
the video
I'm
where it came
it.
From.
If not, I'm taking it. That's prime real estate.
We're gonna have Dave Buchanan join us in about 10 minutes. The Bandits made the playoffs, and I think they went on a little run at the end of the year actually to make the playoffs. They're the defending NLL champions. They're gonna make the playoffs, but I haven't really been able to follow them as much this year. And last year was able to follow them a little bit more and went to a few games. Went to one game this year, actually, earlier in the season. They wound up losing that one. It was maybe the opener or the second home game they had. But they're in the playoffs, and it's a great story, of course, with the Bandits and their success. And, of course, we have the other team who plays in that same arena not having the success, the Buffalo Sabres, who are wrapping up their season. When's their finale? Is it tonight or tomorrow? It's tonight. It's tomorrow, right? Let's see. Tonight. Tonight against the Lightning. I should know that. Yeah. 6 p.m. tonight is when the pregame show starts, and then 7 o'clock is when the puck drops. You guys had an interesting poll this morning. Was it you or Jeremy? Are things as good as they have?
It was Jeremy.
It was basically, I can go back and look at the poll, but considering the way the season played out, Jeremy White asked on a poll this morning at his Twitter page, at JeremyWGR. He said, let me read this to you. Is it not as bad as it looks, or is it worse than it looks? Now, I knew the results would be this way, because you're dealing with a fan base that's very frustrated right now. Worse than it looks, 61%, 62% actually, over not as bad as it looks.
I'm split a little bit on that. It's definitely realistic to think it's not as bad as it looks. That they had so many players regress this year, and they found a goalie, and the Byram move looked okay early on. I don't know how that's looking lately, though. But there's enough positive signs, like, this is going to get back on track. I'm spooked, though. I think I'm worried about their high-level talent. That the theory that's in my head right now that I really hope is not what happened this year is that they were so good last year at scoring goals because of their style. Because their coach said, don't worry about mistakes, go out there, be fast, play aggressive, score as many goals as you can. And they went out there, and they did it. And then this year came about, and it's, all right, guys, we're going to bottle it up a little bit. We're going to play a little bit more responsibly. We can't allow as many goals as we did last year. In part, like, how would you think that would work in your mind as a coach, as a GM, whoever's in on that decision of what style you're going to play? How in your mind would you think that would work? It's, okay, stylistically, we're going to get a little bit more buttoned up, but the guys are so talented, they're still going to score. Maybe they won't be third in the league, but the talent level will not allow them to not score. They're that good. Maybe they're just not as talented as we thought they were. Maybe they were the third highest team in the league in scoring, not because they've got all this firepower. Maybe they had the third highest amount of goals because that's the style they played. And that's my fear right now. That's my fear, is that Tage Thompson's a really good player, but he's not. They're a lot better. You can do a lot better for your number one center. And that Dylan Cousins might not be as bad as we just saw, but that you can do a lot better for your number two center. And those are the two guys right now in general that are worrisome for me. Is, you know, you can't have your top two centers playing like that all season.
It's a good question. I don't know. But man, didn't we see enough from Tage maybe the last month or so, where it seems like he's more healthy, where he's kind of regaining that form to look like, you know, he was
Tage
last year?
Tage definitely is. Tage,
Not Dylan. Not,
I wouldn't even say, though, to last year. It's a lot better.
Yeah.
But is it to where it was? Like, last year, he was walking through people on a nightly basis. Like, that is happening more, but it's still not at the level it was last year. So, you know, but to your point, like, if Tage played like he has the last 3 weeks for an entire season, would I sign up for that? That's like 35 to 40 goals, and maybe around, is he even at a point a game in that stretch? I'll have to look. I guess I don't know, though. Like, look around the league. Kucherov is 140 points. I mean, McDavid is McDavid. But McKinnon's out there, and, you know, not all these teams win. But it is so hard to win in this league when you don't have elite talent. You got to have at least a guy or two or three that are just elite-level players. And I think Dahlin is that on a consistent basis, but I feel like Tage has got to be, he's got to be at a bar to clear that is just insanely high. That might be unfair to him, but the problem is he showed us it, right? The problem is Tage showed us, hey, I could be in the Rocket Richard race. I could be in the MVP conversation. Like, he showed us he has that in him, and now you see what that's worth. And when you don't have it, how hard that is, that I'm just, I'm in a tough spot because I don't. If talent's their problem, then that's a big problem.
We have a caller who wants to talk about Tage. That is Elliot in Amherst. Go ahead, Elliot. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well.
You got it.
I hear you guys talking about, you know, maybe the lack of star power this season and how, you know, maybe we came back down to earth. Maybe the season wasn't as bad as we thought. We had a lot of injuries and maybe our players just regressed a little bit back to reality. But I feel like definitely Tage Thompson, I don't think that the case is that he regressed. I mean, he broke his hand earlier in the year. You could totally tell his shots per game went down. I think his shooting percentage is about 11.4% right now. Last year it was 16%. That wasn't really maybe maintainable as much, but I think like the past couple months we've been seeing Tage go dangle people a lot more and get closer to the net. Like we used to see him score a lot of goals last year. I think more so the problem with the Sabres talent like has to do with players like maybe Alex Tuch. I know he gets overlooked a lot because he's a Buffalo guy and he works really hard and he skates hard and he has great fitness and endurance and he sometimes is great. But I feel like I watched every game this season and 80% of the time Alex Tuch is skating in circles or turning around. He's never sound positionally. And I feel like with Tage Thompson on the first line, I just don't understand how players like Skinner and Tuch are awarded so much ice time. I feel like they make so many mistakes with the puck, and I feel like it affected Tage Thompson's production this year with the lack of accountability with management. Like, Jeff Skinner shouldn't be playing 16 minutes a game if he's not even invested in the game, you know, a quarter of the time. So I think that was a big problem this year, just a lack of accountability on some of these players.
Well, wait, what did you – accountability would be what? Moving Skinner off that line? Because for over a month, they moved him off.
In my opinion, moving Skinner at the very end of the season on that Krebs line was like a slap in the face because, I mean, I don't care. I love Jeff. He's like one of my favorite characters on the team. But if you're making $9 million a year, I don't even think that matters. You should be benched. Sometimes I saw him playing. I mean, I wanted to scrape my eyes out with the effort he was
putting in. Okay, I hear you. But, Elliot, at the same time, this team couldn't score goals all year, and until he got moved off that line, he was number one on the team in goals.
And I agree with you in that. I know he has 24 goals this year, and, I mean, if you're paying him $9 million, at least he's scoring you those goals. Obviously, Jeff Skinner is a great goal scorer. And, you know, it's funny. As much as I hated Ralph Krueger, I almost respected the fact that he said he measured his career on goal scoring because it's like these past couple years in Buffalo, when do you see Jeff Skinner skating hard on a back check? Like, I mean, really, never.
All right. All this is like window dressing anyway, right, Elliot? Like, the real point I think you want to make is that you think Tage is closer to what he was last year than this year, right?
And the other people around are affecting why.
Right. And the injury.
Right.
For sure. And yeah. Dylan Cousins the same. Like, I feel like Dylan Cousins had an off year. I'm not worried about him, but it concerns me that almost they moved on from Casey Mittelstadt, who looked like a real NHLer this year, when you had Dylan Cousins struggling a lot. Like, it makes me wonder, like, how they value their players.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Elliot. Cousins, though, like, what part of trading Mittelstadt is you trust that this isn't Cousins, right? If they thought this was Dylan Cousins, they would not have traded Casey Mittelstadt because they would have needed Casey Mittelstadt. They would have needed to pay Casey Mittelstadt because they'd be in big trouble with who their second line center is. So, I'll listen to the Tage injury part. For me, it's not the wrist, though. It's the back because his skating was always the problem for me. His balance was the problem for me all season. His shooting percentage definitely went down, but the back thing that he had at one point, I think, I'm just guessing, could have been what affected him more. I don't know what we're talking about with Alex Tuch. Alex Tuch, like, positionally, maybe in his own end there are times, I don't even know what we're talking about. He's one of the best forecheckers in the league, and that's because he knows where to be, and he's got the skating and the length, so whatever. I don't think it's the teammates around Tage. I thought maybe it's more injury. Cousins, I don't have an explanation. Good luck explaining that one. J.J. Paterka was on his line all year, and that guy's been one of the most dangerous players. I don't know. Cousins, I have no explanation for what happened. He turns the puck over on Saturday, and there have been plays like that all year. Watch that playback. Reinhardt scoring in overtime to beat the Sabres. Maybe not everyone was watching. It was a nice day, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The Masters was on. 3-on-3 overtime. Where does Cousins think he's going with the puck? It's just a fumbling turnover right to Barkov, and it's in the back of your net in 3 seconds. And as he turns up, there's nobody there. Like, there are just plays like that with him all year where I just don't get it. Like,
and this was on the heels of Jeremy asking Granato just the other day about that kind of stuff, right? Which is like, hey, this is trying to do too much.
Right. So like, he's got to go back to Whitehorse maybe for a summer and like go, you know, just get away from it all and reset his mind, because he's the one. Like, Tage, I feel like I can start to explain why everything regressed. Cousins, I'm having a really hard time figuring out what the heck happened to him this year.
Devontae Smith has signed a 3-year, $75 million contract extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. 3 years, $75 million for Devontae Smith. $51 million guaranteed.
Wow.
That's a deal for Devontae Smith. We will take a timeout. When we come back, Dave Buchanan joins us. He is one of the announcers for the Bandits, and they're making the playoffs. So we're going to talk all about their season and what lies ahead for the Buffalo Bandits lacrosse team as the playoffs are upon us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Staging the penalties will get to you in just a couple of moments here. Buffalo with a scoring attempt as Buchanan is there. Back over to Byrne. Quick stick. Score!
There's a goal, Nanico, on the goal for the Bandits lacrosse team going to the playoffs, the defending NLL champions. And joining us on the Wester Hotline right now, one of the announcers you hear right there, along with John Gertler, by the way, Dave Buchanan on the Wester Hotline. Dave, it's Sal and Joe. Good morning to you. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Guys, it's been a while. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's been a while, but for good reason. Reached out because the Bandits are in the playoffs, man. How did this happen? Because it seemed like for a while they were trending towards missing this year.
Yeah, it was it was a little tricky midseason. They were 5-6, but you know these guys know how to win. They are the defending champions for a reason, and I think the defense got healthier. They got some guys. They added some guys, and then the offense is clicking on all cylinders. And now they've won 5 of their last 6. They're locked into a playoff spot, and they still got a shot to host a first round game even.
We'll talk about that and what happens next, but let's go back and rewind a little bit. How did they kind of turn it around and right the ship a little bit?
Yeah, well, like I said, I think a lot of it starts with the defense getting healthier. I mean, the start of the season, They were missing guys like Adam Bomberry, who came back after a long-term injury, and he looks to be in phenomenal shape. And they also added Paul Dawson from Colorado at the trade deadline. So that gave the Buffalo defense and goaltender Matt Vince some veteran experience on the back end, and also a couple of guys that are familiar with playing with Matt Vince and how they can best support him standing in front of him, allowing him to see shots while blocking other shots. And that was something you certainly saw against Calgary this past Saturday night, how well Buffalo can block shots. Just looking up and down the stat sheet, you know, Dawson had a couple, Bomberry had a couple, Priolo had like three block shots. So that really helps Matt Vince take a lot less rubber. And he was phenomenal, too, on Saturday against Calgary. Is between the defense and his goaltending, they only gave up 7 goals, which was something that John Tavares highlighted in his postgame press conference, the fact that they only surrendered 7 goals when they were giving up 12 or more goals for the first half of the season is definitely a step in the right direction. And then just the offensive side, I think they struggled a little bit early in the year, but you know, this group has been together now for about 3 years, and when they're clicking and having fun, they go on runs like this, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Matt Vince is 41 years old playing goal. There was a question. Was there a question if he was going to come back this year? I think if I remember correctly, but you tell me if that was right or wrong.
Yeah, no, after they won the championship, you know, they gave Matt some time to think about what he wanted to do. And in about August, he came back to the team and said, you know what, I'm still having fun. And I think a lot of it for him, too, is his family, his kids are now getting to watch him play here in Buffalo and Banditland. So I think that added something for him to want to come back. So he signed a 2-year deal, you know, last off season, and you know, we did lose him for a couple of games. He had an upper body injury, but team persevered through that, and now I think he's ready to lead this team another playoff run.
You mentioned that they still have a chance to host a playoff game. What do they need to have happen for that to happen?
So first off, they got to win. Saturday night they play in Las Vegas. That's a late start, 10 o'clock game. So they'll know before they hit the floor if that possibility is alive, because first off, they either need Georgia, who plays Rochester on Friday, or Albany, who I think plays New York on Saturday. If either of those teams or both of them lose and then Buffalo wins, then that gets them into that top four of the league, and they can host a first round game. So they need either one of those teams to lose first and then win themselves to get that home game in the first round. But either way, they're locked into a playoff spot regardless.
All right, and then what does it look like on the horizon? Like, who are the challengers here? What teams will they have to overcome to try and repeat here?
Well, they're going to have to play probably a team that beat them at some point in the regular season. You look at Georgia and Albany. Georgia beat them back in December here at home, and they lost both games to Albany this year as the Fire Wolves. You know, they've had a bounce-back year after finishing last in the league last year. They added a couple rookies in Ty Kurtz and Alex Simmons, along with their goaltender, Dougie Jamison. You know, they've bounced back. They have fallen off a little bit. I think they're like on a 4 or 5-game losing streak, but they were definitely one of the top teams in the first half of the season. So you're going to have to beat one of those teams in the first round, or maybe a Panther City lacrosse club that beat Buffalo in overtime, or Halifax that also beat Buffalo in their one matchup this year. So you're going to have to avenge a loss likely in the first round of the playoffs. And again, that's single elimination, so there's no chance for a one more do-over. They're going to have to get it done if they want to move on.
What kind of year has Dean Smith had?
MVP caliber as always. You know, he, like I said, Dane struggled with scoring early in the season, but now he has found his touch. He went on a run there with, I think, like 4 out of 5 games with a hat trick. Only needed to, I think, chip in 1 or 2 this past Saturday night. But, you know, Dane is currently 3rd in the league in scoring and has a chance to break his single-season assist record. And he is loving life playing with his brother, Josh Byrne, and Josh leads the league in scoring. And Josh has taken another step this year. He was already an all-world MVP-type player, and I think Josh has gotten even better this year. He leads the league in scoring. He's in the hunt for the most goals scored in the league this year. He just eclipsed 50 goals, which makes him just the 5th Bandit to ever do that. And Josh is amazing, whether it's his outside shot or flying across the crease that he likes to do. Just that dynamic duo for the Bandits really pays dividends.
All right.
On the league itself, I saw one rumor, and maybe it's only that, that the Rochester Nighthawks could be on the move to Michigan. I don't know if you've seen the same thing, Dave, or even just how sad it would be, I guess, if that happened. I mean, I've never been to Rochester to a game there, but, I mean, they've been in the league as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, that's a rumor that I've not heard from any reputable sources.
Okay.
And you got to remember, though, with the Nighthawks, that original Nighthawks team, they moved to Halifax, what was it, 3-4 years ago, and this current right. iteration of the Nighthawks is owned by Pegula Sports, as part of owning the Rochester Americans. So this Rochester team is owned by Terry Pegula. I wouldn't read much into those rumors, so okay. But anything's possible. But I really think that that's coming from a lot of places without a lot of credit.
Gotcha.
And of course, anytime you have Dave Buchanan on, we have to talk a little bit about motorsports. What's happening on the motorsports scene right now? What are you covering right now? What are you looking forward to?
NASCAR is off and running this year. You know, they just ran yesterday at Texas. Chase Elliott got his first win in about a year and a half, and there's been some interesting races, some real good photo finishes, and Wild Daytona 500 this year. And, you know, we're getting closer to May and the preparations for the Indianapolis 500. Kyle Larson is going to run both the Indy 500 and the NASCAR Coca-Cola 600 in the same day this year. That's something to look forward to in May. And with May also comes the start of local racing season. I'll be doing my first race hopefully this weekend with the Race of Champions Modified Series. All the local tracks like Lancaster and Ransomville are going to be getting fired up here in just a few weeks. So it's that weird flux period for me of the year where I got to duel both lacrosse class and racing season and try and juggle my schedule.
I know you love it, though, buddy. I know you love it. Thanks for joining us here this morning. And obviously we'll be dialed into what happens with the Bandits going forward. And hopefully we'll talk again if they can, you know, creep closer and have a chance to repeat.
Anytime. Looking forward to it, guys.
All right, thank you. That is Dave Buchanan. And Dave does a lot of the stuff here. Anytime. You know, Brian's our golf go-to guy, right? Mm-hmm. Dave's the motorsports, NASCAR, racing, and the Bandits, of course. John Gertler on play-by-play. You can hear Dave Buchanan. That was really cool for them to get into the playoffs after a nice run towards the end of the year. The Bandits are an exciting ticket.
A good event. Yeah,
when you go to a game, it is awesome there. It really is.
Yeah. I got to get my playoff fix in. So I'll try to hit a Bandits playoff game. Hopefully they're hosting one.
Okay.
And then quick trip down the 90, take a look at an Amherst playoff game at some point.
Be nice to have a Sabres playoff game.
I know. Well, we have to make do as best we can, so.
I was thinking about going up to QEW tonight to see my Yankees were hot right now against the Blue Jays.
Okay.
Can't make it tonight. It'd be tough.
Tonight?
Yeah, they're three-game series starting tonight, but it's school night.
Seven?
If it was a Friday or Saturday, I might do it, but
7:07. What if I just went?
You could go. I'd like to go, but then I got Max. We're not going to be at Dover until 9:30, 10 o'clock. Then I got to drive back. He's got school tomorrow. I just couldn't do it.
Yankees and Blue Jays.
Yeah.
What's that ticket like?
I was looking. You can actually get for Canadian dollars here, Ticketmaster, decent like club level, second level seats, or even above that for about $100. Not bad.
Okay.
$100. 100, 100, right. 100 to 150. And then, you know, you're getting up even way higher, obviously, in some seats.
You know, the first baseball game, the next baseball game I want to take in might do well to get in, like, the $10 range. That might be nice. Go see the Pirates and the Marlins. That's an idea, right?
And
two terrible teams at an awesome ballpark. That's what I'm looking for.
This is how I know you haven't followed baseball that much to start?
The Pirates are good, aren't they?
The Pirates are good.
I was going to say.
The Pirates are good.
The Marlins are terrible.
They are.
They're like
1-12. And the Pirates
12.
Are usually terrible, so you're going to pass.
That's right.
Just for saying that, it just comes out of the mouth like that, right?
No, I had seen, though, they're like, what are they, 3 games above 500 right now?
They started really hot. And
no,
they're
better than that. 11-5. 11-5. And they're tied
they
for the division
like
lead.
They started like 6-1 or something.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Listen, I'd love the Pirates to be good.
Oh. Pirates and Brewers.
The last time the Pirates were, well,
and the Brewers are good too, and they have been for the last few years, but yeah.
In my life, like, there's one team I think of with Andrew McCutchen.
Yes.
Where they would have went to the wild card and maybe even got to a series, but that's like it. I mean, how many times have they been to, in my life that I can remember baseball, how many times have the Pirates been to the playoffs? Like, twice? Maybe?
Probably. Not, different when I was growing up and when I got into college too.
It's one of like the most consistent losers in sports. No offense to the Pirates fans out there. They have missed the playoffs 8 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time they won a series was 2013. That's mm-hmm. the team. That's the Andrew McCutchen team.
Oh, they had three playoff appearances in a row. 13, 14, right. 15. But before that, they had not made it since 1992. So, when I was in college, yeah. Those years in college for me, I remember those teams. That was Barry Bonds. That's Sid Bream.
This is your way of putting into perspective yes. how bad they've been in the since 1993. In the last 31 years, they've made the playoffs three times.
Wow.
It's pretty tough.
Well, they're off to a nice start. Yankees at Blue Jays tonight. We got the Bandits rolling into the playoffs here. The Sabres wrap up their season tonight. Overall, not just regular season, but another year of no playoffs. And then we're going to hear from Sabres, I'm sure GM Kevin Adams, head coach Don Granato at some point this week. We got the Bills starting offseason workouts this week, the draft next week, a lot to get to. Plus, the Arizona Coyotes, what is happening with them? We'll do that. Let's talk about that today. I want to do that. Plus, Dave brought up something. We talked about Matt Vins. Got me to thinking about NHL a little bit and goalies. So we'll talk about that as well when we come back on WGR. Why am I doing instant trivia? Oh, Joe, because we just had a good discussion on the Bandits, and Matt Vince, I said, he's 41 years old. Then I got to thinking, who are the oldest goalies in the NHL? Joe, there are five, one, two, three, four, five, six, I'm sorry, six, six goalies in the NHL who this year age 35 or older that have played at least 27 games each.
Oh, I love this trivia. Old goalies.
Old
goalies.
Let's go. Okay, so this year,
all right.
There are six NHL goalies
six.
Who are the age 35 or older who played at least 27 games this season.
Okay.
Can you name them?
Right. We want to make sure the guys that like actually play in the league. Like,
yeah, these guys have all played at least 27 games.
Marc-Andre Fleury.
He is number one, 39 years old.
Yep.
He's the oldest, I should say. By the way, 39 years old and 39 games played.
All right. Craig Anderson is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not him.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is actually tougher than I thought it was. I've got a list of team logos in front of me. It's still not. Is man. Josh, I watched Jake Allen play the Amerks in a playoff game that felt like that was... Well, I would have been driving, so 12 years ago, no, he's probably not 35.
He's close, he's 33.
33 he's for Jake Allen?
How about Devin Dubnyk?
No.
No, dude.
I don't know, I am going to
walk in there and fight you right now. When is
what
the
do
last,
you mean?
When is the last time Devin Dubnyk played in the NHL?
Not even last year.
I don't even know. Dude, he's not even on my list.
He hasn't played in the league in 3 years.
What?
Boo.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay, fine. Jonathan Quick.
Yes.
There you go. Good. That's that.
Jonathan Quick is redemption. 38, and he's played 27 games.
Good redemption there. He's been amazing this year, too.
Yeah, I know, right?
Which
is like
rebirth. the most stunning thing for me that's happened all year, because he has been bad before that. Okay, so that's two.
Yeah, we got the two oldest, 39 and 38.
Josh, do you think there's another guy like that, where like longtime starter that's now a backup somewhere? Maybe not. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Semyon Varlamov?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the guy I was thinking of.
Okay.
He is 35. He's played 27 games.
How about Freddie Anderson?
He just misses the cut. He's 34.
Okay. He's on fire going to the playoffs.
Ooh, wow. That's great for them.
They need that, yeah.
This guy, I think he was... Yeah, go ahead.
Brian Elliott?
No.
Still in Tampa?
He might not have played enough games.
Or maybe he's...
I don't even see him on the list here. Well, how much has he played this year?
Maybe last year... Yeah. Oh, no, he's not in there. He's not in Tampa anymore.
I don't even have my
list. They signed Jonas Johansson. Last year he played for them. He didn't play for them this year.
I can give you some. We're in hint territory yet. I mean, you're going to really, really kick yourself for one. Really kick yourself.
Okay. Then we got to get this one. Who is out there? Is there a guy starting?
Like, this guy has played 58 games this year. And he's 35 years old.
What?
And you just watched him play yesterday.
Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who played the Sabres in a playoff game.
Sergei Bobrovsky.
I think he's the last active goalie that can say that, by the way.
This other guy is 36 and he's played 52 games this year.
52 games?
He started 50. He's 26 and 19. Yes.
Has James Reimer got to that amount of games?
Hold on. James Reimer is on this list, but he is not the guy I'm talking of. But he has played 24 games. He's 35 years old. He got one left.
Okay.
One you're missing. That's the guy I'm talking about. And I think
36.
Could be wrong. Maybe you mentioned him last year as possibly signing him. He was a free agent.
Matt Murray?
No. I think he was on your list of maybe a guy they could go out and get.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who was I wanting them to get?
I don't remember if you did or not. I kind of. He did lead the league in games played for 2 years in a row back in the in 16 and 17. He played 73 games 1 year. He played 67 another. He plays on the West Coast.
The West
this year.
Coast. And who's it? Josh, who's Anaheim's goalie?
John Gibson, but it's not
nope.
him.
Who is San Jose's goalie? No, right? L.A. Oh.
Ding, ding, ding.
Who's L.A.'s goalie?
Oh, man. All I can picture is Cal Peterson, and it's not him.
Not Cal. Cam.
Cam Talbot.
Cam Talbot, okay.
Cam Talbot. We did talk about him last year for the
yes,
Sabres.
Right? I thought you did.
We did. That was the deadline last year that we did that.
He's had such a weird career.
So weird.
Like, he's like a certified starter, but he never has that
role. He played 73 games for the Oilers 1 year.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. That doesn't happen in the league anymore.
No.
Hellebuck, I bet's going to lead the league this year. I don't know what he's at.
Ooh, Hellebuck is on the list here down here. Where is he? He is at... You say he's going to lead the league in... Let me see. Well,
in starts, that's my guess. I don't know that.
In starts, no, he's got 59. Actually, he will not. Juuse Saros will.
Okay.
63 starts.
Yeah.
Georgiev, 62 starts. How about Georgiev, 62 starts, coming from where he came from?
Yeah. Lukanen's going to get to... if he plays tonight...
52, if he plays tonight.
52?
Yep.
What's that number next year?
45.
That's the exact number I was thinking. We're probably all thinking that same number.
Right.
Levi plays 37?
Yeah, hopefully, right? If they stay healthy, that's about what the split should be.
He's been the best goalie in the AHL. That's like, great. It's almost... he's been the best goalie in the AHL, so...
So here's your list. Oldest goaltenders in the league. These are the six guys who are 35 or older that have all played at least 27 games. Actually, I'm sorry, 24 games. I did mess up on that. Marc-Andre Fleury, Jonathan Quick, Cam Talbot, Sergei Bobrovsky, Semyon Varlamov, and James Reimer. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Arizona Coyotes. What in the world is happening with that situation? Let's kind of kick it around and just kind of figure out what the NHL looks like maybe post-Arizona, which is next year possibly.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
And I don't know why it was necessary. Now watch. I can't circle. I don't have my telestrator today, but here comes a pizza. See it? Oh, jeez.
Highly unnecessary.
Guy with the Patriots jacket, and of course, he's been asked to leave the ball game for ruining a good piece of pizza. So, just beer all over, and here comes
some pizza.
I wonder why did he do that? Because he thought he was interfering with a play? I mean, it seemed totally unnecessary.
Just now getting the pizza off it.
You were just watching. Could you tell everybody exactly what we were just listening to?
That was how many years ago today? All I know is I saw it was this day in sports.
Okay.
2007. The Fenway pizza incident. Here comes the pizza.
You got to go watch it on YouTube, folks.
Just, it's so good. I retweeted it at Sneaky Joe Sports.
We are,
too,
not,
find it.
We are not encouraging throwing anything no. while at the ballpark.
But it is just, it's so random. Like, the if you don't know the video, a fan at a Red Sox game like gets his hand in the way of a foul ball or is trying to catch it, drops it. And some dude in a Patriots jacket from, like, 10 rows back, for no reason, whips a whole, not whips, tosses a whole slice of pizza at this gentleman. Like, and it hits him right on the shoulder.
If anything, too, this guy is, like, helping the Red Sox, because the Angels are trying to make a catch to get a right. Red Sox player out.
The throwing motion even is funny. Just, I don't know, watching it in slow motion is amazing. Like, how he arrives at the decision, this pizza I've just bought,
yes.
I'm throwing the whole thing at this guy.
The original pizza gate.
And then there's just sauce all over his shoulder.
So good.
Oh my gosh. Today is the Boston Marathon, by the way.
Yeah.
Zdeno
Chara running in it.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's a big marathon guy.
Oh, I didn't realize that. All right. He's actually one of my all-time, like, least liked people. In sports.
Chara?
Yeah, but Bulldog and I was out with Bulldog like last year at some point or maybe 2 years ago. And he's like, is there just guys you just really hate? Like sports figures. And I'm like, yeah, Zdeno Chara. I've always hated Zdeno Chara. But you just telling me that makes me not hate him as much, to be quite honest.
That he's in the Boston Marathon?
Yeah, like, all right, that's cool.
Well, he's going to win because he's just going to run behind people. They're going to be like, oh my God, here comes Chara. And they just run out of the way. No, he was a big, mean goon. Big, mean, bully, giant.
He was good, though.
He wasn't a goon. He was great.
He was really
right.
good, yeah.
But no one likes a big, giant bully.
No.
He was the biggest giant bully in league history.
Yeah, I didn't like him.
And he always won, so that didn't help.
So that was the... What year was that pizza thrower?
2007.
Okay.
2007.
Do you know what yesterday was?
Okay. Sunday? What other than that?
It's a bad way for me to phrase that. Yesterday was the anniversary of the opening game of the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs. Game one.
Game one against Philadelphia.
Yep.
They win that game.
1-0.
1-0.
Who scores?
Coletta.
Yes, in the third period.
Yep. I remember the goal. He went flying. Maybe it was like he scored and got tripped on the way through and like was celebrating on his way to the ice.
I have no recollection of this
I've seen it. I've seen it before. Yeah, they won 1-0. But I think Bobrovsky was in net that night.
Ooh, let me see.
I'm pretty sure he started that series.
Okay, hold on.
And he hadn't been benched yet because they only scored one. He got benched in the
second game. It was Bobrovsky.
Okay.
That goal, Coletta, from Marc-Andre Gragnani and Paul Gostad.
All right. Trivia. Gragnani, for you out there, Gragnani led the Sabres in scoring in their last playoff series.
What?
The last Sabre to lead the team in a playoff series in playoff scoring was Marc-Andre Gragnani.
Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
He had an assist on that goal. They go up 1-0 in Philly.
Yep.
The next 2 days later, that would have been the 16th. Back in Philly, game two. What happens?
Is game two against the Flyers when the first period is the Flyers can't stop a beach ball, so they start flip-flopping the goalies all around, and then they still win, though?
I'm going to guess they flip-flop goalies because it makes sense based on what we... Yes, Bobrovsky and Brian Boucher both played in this game.
Okay.
Yes. And yes, the first period had 6 goals scored.
Wow.
Philly, Buffalo, Philly, Buffalo, Buffalo, Philly.
3-3 at the end of one?
3-3 at the end of one.
It's pretty good.
And then...
If I remember, though, right, the goals that the Sabres scored, like, you should not have gone in. Like, they were just the worst goals ever allowed. They were in that game because Bobrovsky was so bad.
This is kind of a who's who of this time period. Ready? Giroux starts the scoring, followed by Vanek.
Yep.
Followed by Daniel Carcillo.
Okay.
Followed by Vanek. Then Andre Sequeira for the Sabres.
Nice.
And then James Van Riemsdyk.
Yep.
Okay? Then you go to the second period. It's 2 goals from Philly. Ville Leino and Danny Briere.
Wow.
Leino comes to the Sabres the next year, right?
You know why there were... Leino comes to the Sabres next year after scoring the Game 6 winner.
Cody McCormick does score in the third period for the Sabres, but they ultimately don't tie it up. Joe, the first period...
You know why? You know why there was so much scoring in the first period? They called 11 penalties.
Yeah, I was looking at that. And they had six goals and 11 penalties.
They called 11 penalties, although two of them were fighting majors. Gostad and Hartnell apparently fought in that game. But what, 9 minor penalties were called? That's how you get some scoring.
Then they come back to Buffalo for game 3. This is the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs, folks. This is the week. Yeah. This week is the anniversary of the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs, way back in 2011.
I don't know how the series is going to revisiting the series is going to make me feel.
It will not make you feel better. I'm wondering how you remember it, though.
Okay. I remember game 2 for sure about the goalies being pulled. I don't remember anything about game 3.
Game 3, Sabres lose 4-2 in Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Jeff Carter opens the scoring. Drew Stafford ties it up. Then you go to the second period. It's Briere and Zhirdev for Philly.
Okay, yeah.
Then Gerby scores for the Sabres.
Okay. Game.
Empty netter from Timonen.
Okay. Game 4, same thing. I don't remember
game
much either.
Game 4, no. Okay, really?
Game four is 1-0.
1-0 Buffalo.
Again? They won 2-1-0
games. Again, and this time it's Pominville early, and then nothing after that.
Okay. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just guessing at this, but I think I remember it right. That do you remember when Miller robbed Briere?
I mean, I remember the RJ call, yes.
I think that's game 4.
That right? That's the RJ call. That's we hear RJ a lot call. Of the highlights of that, right?
Yeah, I think that's game 4. That is the RJ call you're talking about.
Yep. Okay.
And then, of course, game 5, game 6, and game 7 are all memorable. Game 5 is the last playoff win. Mm-hmm. Ennis in overtime. You want to be a hero. Not a sneaky, underrated call by RJ. You want to be a hero? As Ennis wins it in overtime. A rebound from a Mike Weber shot. I can't believe that team was almost won that playoff series. They had no business doing it.
I mean, but it also underscores they just blew it.
Oh, they had the lead in game 6. On Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, that's right.
And then game 7 was a disaster.
Once they blew game 6, you knew they were going to lose game 7, right?
Yeah, game 7 was just never, ever competitive. Brad Boy scoring the final playoff goal. In game
so
seven.
Ennis, so Ennis wins in overtime in game 5, right?
Yep.
Do you know what happened before that to get to overtime? How the scoring went? What happened?
No.
Sabres blew a 3-0 lead at the end of 1.
Okay.
Philly comes back with 3.
Okay.
Van Riemsdyk, but the
does
Sabres
Briere have one?
No.
Okay.
Ennis, Vanek, yes, he does. He has the third period. He has the third period goal to tie it up.
I think I slightly remember Briere tying it.
Yes. Yeah. And then Ennis scores not too long in overtime. And you're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
They're up. And then they come home and lose that overtime game to Philly that winds up crushing them on Easter Sunday.
Yep. And the series.
That's Ville Leino.
He won in overtime.
Yes.
And then they paid him a ton of money.
Sabres blew a lead there, too. 3-1 after 1.
I mean, looking back. The Flyers were a better hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
They were a better hockey team. They had horrible goaltending in that series. And the Sabres were, they were living off their goalie being their best player. The roster was not that good. So, and then the next year, like, that team, that was the peak of that team. That team is why the tank happened. Because everyone kind of realized, okay, that's the ceiling here, right? They're not doing much more than this. They don't have the capability to go on a long, deep playoff run.
Right.
So, okay, let's go get the number one pick. That's kind of how this all started, I think, is that team. You can work it all the way back. You can do the domino effect, the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand actually caused all of this.
The butterfly effect.
Yes. You could go all as far back as you want. They're still recovering from Drury Briere.
Oh, 100%.
It's amazing. 17 years later, we are still here waiting for them to recover from losing Briere and Drury.
Walter, what's going on, buddy? Good to join you. Good. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm Joe's favorite guy, because I want to ask him if he thinks yesterday's result, Canada-US gold medal game, is a sort of an omen for when the men's play.
I don't know. Well, if the omen is the game is going to be awesome and super close right up until the end, then I might agree with you.
Quick football question, if you don't mind, guys.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, we obviously expect the Bills to move up. That's the consensus. We need a wide receiver. Do you think they've lost a bit of leverage by moving Diggs first? I mean, I know that situation, it played out the way it did. And
no,
obviously not a good situation. But now that the league knows we need a wide receiver, do you think the price to move up is going to be a little higher?
No, I don't think so. I think that teams generally don't operate like that, which is like they'll do what's best for them. The price is the price. I don't think that's going to matter. I mean, in fact, the Bills have quite a bit of draft capital. I don't think that should, you know, impact. If they want to move up, they want to move up. I don't think a team is looking at them going, well, you don't have Stephon Diggs anymore, so you're going to pay more. I don't think that. Now, if you're talking about a quarterback and a team that's really desperate, the price can go up a little bit because you know you're dealing with a team that's trying to move up. I don't think in this situation it would. I think the price is the price, Walter, to be quite honest with you.
Well, that's good to hear, because I really think there's a gaping hole there now, and you know, given Allen's ability, you know,
Remember, the Bills decided on their own. They chose to trade Stephon Diggs and eat the money. If anything, Brandon Bean goes, dude, we wanted to do this. We're not desperate. You know what I mean? If that was the case.
But I think money, dead cap space-wise, they probably would have benefited keeping them another year, no?
Well, it depends. They were, no matter when they decided, there was going to be a year where you ate a big Diggs cap. And they just, the way the contract's structured, almost no matter what, eventually it was going to happen. So they just have to figure out when they wanted to do it. So I guess, you know, I don't think this was the sole reason they did it, but part of the, I think, logic would be if we do it now and eat it now, we get a second-round pick. If we wait a year, we probably have to eat it and then get nothing for it, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. And, you know, before I let you go, I do miss the Sabres not being in the playoffs. I remember the glory days in the 70s. I cried my eyes out when they lost to the Flyers in that cup, believe it or not. Yeah. I've always had a soft spot for the Sabres, and I don't know. There was so much promise this year. I hope they shake it up enough that they get in next year. It'll be so exciting. Imagine Toronto, Buffalo in the first round of the playoffs.
It would be pretty crazy. I think not too long ago, actually, I went down the YouTube rabbit hole and I was rewatching that Eastern Conference final between the two teams. Remember that?
Eastern Conference final between
Sabres and Leafs. What year was that? That was the 90s, late 90s?
Oh, right? Hell yeah.
99.
Yeah,
99? Yeah. But the year the Sabres went to the Cup. Yeah, 99, of course. Yeah because
Eastern Conference Finals.
Eastern Conference Finals, yeah. You remember that series?
I'm drawing a blank. I got to look this one up.
What?
99?
Yes.
Eastern Conference? The Leafs were that far in? Maybe under Pat Quinn. Wow, that would hurt, guys, losing a
Yeah, ball. You're kidding. I know. Now you're just toying with me. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. I got you. I got you.
No, I'm not. No, I have
all right. The most respect.
But, gentlemen, I looked that one up, but I would have remembered Leafs losing to Buffalo. The Eastern Conference Finals. Wow.
Go look up anyone listening on YouTube. You want just a great – if you like Bob Cole out there, Bob Cole, the legendary play-by-play man from CBC, go look up on YouTube Sabres-Leafs Game 4 from 1999. It's like a three-minute video where the Sabres score like three goals in the course of like a minute, including Sabres. A Rob Ray goal, and it's a great clip.
Sabres destroyed the Leafs in that series, by the way. You go back to 99, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1, the Sabres win 5-4. They lose 6-3 in Game 2, and then they just go 4-2, 5-2, 4-2, and boat race them.
Wow. Well, you know what? Next time I call, you got something on me, because I must have blocked that out mentally.
I think you did. Go look at it, buddy, okay? You got it.
Okay, all the
Thanks,
best,
Walter. Man. Okay, bye. Thank you very much for that. All right. It is the week of the Sabres' last playoff appearance, but it looks like there's not going to be any more Arizona Coyotes playoff appearances in Arizona, or games maybe there at all in Arizona. This story keeps changing. The letter that was published from the owner to the mayor, did you see that?
Yeah.
And the owner looks like he's trying. Like he, according to the PR spin, maybe, I don't know. But it looks like the owner's like, dude, I'm trying here. I'm going to build this arena. I'm going to build this complex. You're not working with me. And there was this land auction, and he wanted to, as you brought it up last week.
It's coming in June, yeah.
It's coming in June, and he has an intention to buy it, but apparently it's full steam ahead to go to Utah.
Yes, they're going to Utah.
Yes.
It is, in the letter maybe is a part of this, it is very clear, and it has been now for a couple of years, no one in Arizona wants them. Other than the fans. I'm sure there are Coyotes fans. I know there are. It just... it might not be as, you know, large a fan base, of course, as others.
Right.
But when I say Arizona, I mean like the governments, the public, you know, these town councils that Glendale, we were covering in the hockey media. None of the people in charge, none of the people that have power in Arizona want the Coyotes there. Glendale kicked them out. They kicked them out. There is an arena that we know is NHL, has NHL capabilities because the Coyotes played there for over a decade. It's right down the road in Glendale. They didn't want them there anymore. They said, in part because the Coyotes didn't pay their bills, and there's a lot of stories about that apparently coming out now, how like they don't even pay their hotel bills, so hotels around the league, and like there's just a bunch of stuff. But Glendale said, get out. You're not in this arena anymore. Get out. So they went to the college rink, and now it's, oh, look, this land over here. Well, we'll do this, and we'll build a bunch of land. And the mayor's like, no, we don't want that. Like, the mayor doesn't want it in Scottsdale. The town council in Glendale doesn't want it. Who in Arizona is trying to get them to stay? There's no effort being made. In fact, it's the other way. It's get lost.
Is it because of the team, or is it because they don't care about the NHL and think it's not profitable for them?
It's probably both. They realize after 20 years, this is not making any money. It's not making any money. They're delinquent on certain checks, and just it business-wise, it doesn't work in Arizona. So they're saying that's not working, plus you're not the best tenant, maybe, is a part of it. So the ownership could be a part of it, too. Like, you've had your shot. You've had 20 years to make this work, and it's not working. So, for now, you know, go to Utah. And part of this deal is, like, Bettman is not giving up. Bettman is really not giving up. Like, he is this exclusive window that Marullo, the Coyotes owner, has to bring back an expansion team to Arizona within 5 years if he gets an arena deal. Like, Bettman is trying, but why am I supposed to think in the next 5 years something's going to change? You know, like, part of this deal is, oh, don't worry, Coyotes fans. Like, we're going to be back. Don't worry. It's good. Within 5 years. It's the Browns in the 90s. Right? Like, oh, we're going to Baltimore, but don't worry, the league's going to get your team back. Like, that's kind of what's being promised right now to Arizona, and I'm not so confident that's going to happen. Why, after 15 years of ownership and arena drama, is it just going to get settled in the next five? Maybe, but I'm not betting on that.
I mean, they are going to expand at some point. We're pretty confident in that, right?
Yeah,
there's been a lot of... Houston's been talked about a lot.
Yep.
Atlanta's been talked about.
Yep.
Right? Whether it's a team
Quebec
moving.
Quebec has wanted
Quebec City. And I
don't think they're ever going
to
get it.
I don't know if they ever will. I would love to see a team back in Quebec. Do you remember the Nordique?
No. That would have been one.
Little.
96 is the Avalanche.
Man.
Yeah, I don't remember it. I mean, I would love them to come back, too. Yeah. I don't think it's realistic. They want, what does Bettman want? Bettman is about the bottom line. He's a business dude.
Yep.
And he looks at, why does he want Arizona? Why has he tried so hard, desperately, to get Arizona to work in the last 20 years? Because it's the seventh biggest market in the United States. Why does he continue to go to fly to Houston to meet with billionaires to see if there might be some interest that could be drawn up there? Because Houston's the second biggest market in the United States. The more people, the more money, the more revenue, the more money for the league. Like, that's all Bettman cares about. That's why he's working for it. And if you, like, Quebec would be cool and would get support, but financially,
it's not making the league money.
You got to convince Bettman that it's going to make the league money. And there's, I don't see.
I mean, we had, I think you have a great, to me, a great hockey market in Winnipeg that's not even.
There's trouble there.
There's, right.
And they're good.
Yeah.
If anything, right. Winnipeg, like.
I mean, it was so great when they got their team back.
Right. It feels like, you know, if you get to know Bettman over the years, and you read enough about him, and you see how he talks and his actions. We all know what motivates him. It has always felt like, and sounded like, he didn't really want to go back to Winnipeg. He wanted Atlanta to work. He wanted Atlanta to work. He went back to Winnipeg because he didn't really have another option. And doesn't he look at Winnipeg, and doesn't he say to people close to him, see, this is why I didn't want to go back there. Yes, their fan base is crazy, and everyone loves the Jets. But here they are, a team headed for the playoffs, really good, and they're third from the bottom in attendance. Like, he had to fly to Winnipeg a month ago to figure out, like, he's meeting with corporate sponsors, like, what's happening here? This team is good. Why can't the building be full? Why can't all the boxes be full? Like, Bettman, if anything, is probably treating Winnipeg right now as like this is the proof in the pudding for why I'm never going back to Quebec, which is sad, but I think that's probably what's happening.
Utah. When we come back, let's just talk about the Utah, the back end of this, what it looks like on the other end with Utah having a team. And, Joe, how about greatness being boring? Does that matter to you? We'll talk about that when we come back here next on WGR.
Patrick Mahomes just won his third Super Bowl championship, and everyone believes that he is on the precipice of going and challenging Brady for those seven rings based off the way that they're set up. Mm-hmm. But now, the man, the myth, the legend of Tom Brady comes back because he doesn't want to allow Patrick Mahomes to get anywhere near his record and tries to extend it to eight. The one who is undefeated against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs decides to come back and give it one more go. The guy can still play. And I would never doubt Tom Brady. If he says he can come back, I believe him.
I mean, please, can we not have this conversation going forward?
They're going to need something to replace Jordan LeBron. Right? Until Wembanyama takes over the
basketball. I don't care about the debate between the two. If as long as Mahomes does his end of the bargain, keeps winning, you have to have it. Him coming back... like this thing, what are we doing?
We had a debate earlier. Yeah. I want to see where you land on this. I put a poll up on it, too. What would be a more preferable outcome for you? He stays retired or he goes back to New England?
Ooh. Stays retired.
If he goes to New England, you get the chance to just hammer him a couple of times.
I know.
But, of course, you're risking the... I don't think it would happen. That team's pretty bad. The feeling of what happens if it actually worked. But, come on, he's 47. Where do people land on this poll? I think most people want him to just stay retired. Just stay out of my life. He mentioned New England and the Raiders. Listen, the only thing I'll say about this, after he said on that podcast last week, that in the right... what do you say? The right situation? Right circumstance?
Something like that, yeah.
The circumstance right now in Las Vegas are the exact same he was about to sign up for in Miami. If Bill Belichick doesn't accidentally send the wrong text to Brian Flores... Brady goes to Miami and is the Dolphins quarterback with an agreement that he will become a minority owner after he's done. He's in bed with the Raiders right now. And he's already got a future. I mean, I think they're voting on it, or maybe that's, I don't think it's fully approved yet. But he's already going through that process. But it's not done. And who's the Raiders quarterback sitting here today? Is it Aiden O'Connell? All I'm saying is, he said under the right circumstances, he was about to go to Miami in the exact same circumstances that he would currently have for himself in Las Vegas.
I mean...
it would be horrible. I don't hope it happens. Although, be less coverage about Aaron Rodgers. So,
speaking of Aaron Rodgers, someone tweeted us for our Brian Baldinger podcast and asked, do you think if Salah or McDaniel could be in trouble this year? My answer is absolutely. I think they both have to make the playoffs. Salah for sure. If the Jets don't make the playoffs, they're blowing it up. I mean, like, it's Aaron Rodgers. If you didn't make the playoffs now, like, if the Jets don't make it, it is completely everybody's new. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't care. Even if he got hurt again and they didn't make it.
I think Salah has got a very good chance of being fired during the season. If the season gets off to a rocky start, not even that bad. Like, first month of the year. What's the worst record where you think they could do it? If they were 2-3 in their first five games, could they fire Salah?
Yes.
I think they could. I don't even think the bar is that low for them to, especially when you've got Rodgers' boy right there as the offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. And you know Rodgers would love Nathaniel Hackett to be the head coach because he takes him with him everywhere now. So, I think Salah especially, he's the one. He's got, if I'm him, that's... I don't love the deal I've made with the devil, because look how it's gone for him. And I'm assuming that this is right, that they would fire him, but let's assume that is right for sake of conversation. Look how this has gone for him. Hey, Robert, we're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers. This is the last thing you need. Your defense is great. We've got Garrett Wilson. All we need is a quarterback. Here, we're going to go trade for Aaron Rodgers. Awesome. How's it gone? He got hurt. Wash of a season in year one. Total meltdown. They wouldn't let you go get a different quarterback, or they just didn't want to go get a different quarterback, so the season was basically a waste. And now year two, Rodgers is back, and oh hey, don't start 2-3 in the first month of the year, or you could lose your job.
And
that's
everyone,
a horrible spot for a coach.
All of the sourcing and reporting after the season was they did nothing to prepare it at all for any sort of tough scenario.
Right.
Like it was like, ah, we don't have Aaron Rodgers throw our hands up. What do we do?
This year they went out and got Tyrod, so at least they have something
right.
that they could throw in there now. But it's just, yeah. It's all drama and it's non-football nonsense all the time. And I can't imagine Sala likes that. Like you, if you're a team that doesn't like distractions, yeah. with good or bad, like doesn't even matter what they are. Just it doesn't. They exist. They exist on that team constantly. And I think he. If I were to bet, I would bet on him to be the first coach fired this year.
I mean, could I see a scenario where Mike McDaniel gets fired during the year? Sure. I mean, that can happen if they're really bad. But that's
but that
one of
would
those
have
deals
to be
where
really
think,
bad,
right?
Right?
I think it'd have to go to the end of the season and they say, "Look, we got to do something different. We tried this with the offense. We just had to pay our receiver. Now we got to decide on Tyreek and Jalen Waddle and all these guys." And so that to me feels like more of an end of the season type of thing. Okay, real quick before we get out of here and take our final break, Utah hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You feeling it?
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm into
it. It fits there.
Yeah,
it fits more than Arizona because it's Utah and snow and yeah. I mean, the heck, they had the Winter Olympics there.
Yep. That's one of the team names on the odds list, by the way. Olympians, the Utah Olympians.
What is the? What are the others? There was something with bees you guys talked about a while
bees,
back.
Bees. Our boss, actually, Alan, texted us Utah bees because they're the bee state.
Uh-huh.
My favorite is the Salt Lake Stags with a deer as a
well,
logo.
That is the question. Would it be Salt Lake or Utah?
I hope it's Salt Lake. I think I guess a lot of the team names I see are more Utah-based.
Mm-hmm.
The Utah Yeti is one that keeps getting thrown around.
Okay.
Just sounds like a roller hockey team to me. I don't know. And then the owner mentioned Golden Eagles.
Well,
Oh,
really?
Yeah, because there's something about it's the state bird or something. But Jeremy pointed out two problems with that I didn't even thought of this morning. One, Golden Eagles. You have the Golden Knights. You're not doing that, right? You're not going to have the Golden Knights and the Golden Eagles. Doesn't that seem stupid in the same league?
Probably right.
So they probably wouldn't do that. And then if you're the Utah Eagles, like, can you do that? Do the Philadelphia Eagles have a say in that? I don't know how that works with pro sports and, like, trademarks and rights and whatnot.
Well, can I throw a suggestion?
Yeah.
How about the Utah Coyotes? There are Coyotes in Utah!
I don't mind that if not for this agreement with the Coyotes owner that you can get your team back.
Okay.
And do they want to save Coyotes in case they go back to Arizona? Or maybe they want to wipe the slate clean there.
Maybe.
That might be a better option. I like this. You go Utah.
It's better
Coyotes.
Than Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
The New Orleans true. Jazz moved to Utah.
It's the stupidest
thing. I do
ever.
Not think of Jazz in Utah.
No, it's ridiculous.
And they kept the name.
Yeah.
It's better than that.
It is better than that. All right, I'm into that. I like this. You keep Coyotes with Utah. It's the Utah Coyotes.
Yeah.
You tell the Coyotes owner, if you even get an arena deal, which I don't believe you will, then you're starting fresh. Which, you know, in that market, they might be ready for a refresh button anyway. You get even something new.
Because they did do this in Winnipeg. The Jets became the Jets again when they went back.
They did, but the records didn't go with them. That's another stupid thing, by the way. I hate when they do that. If there's a team that comes back to the city, give them back the records. That the Browns did that, right, with the Ravens?
What happened with the Browns was, in case people don't know, the Browns' history includes all the old Cleveland Browns with 4 years missing. When they went to Baltimore, they treated the Ravens as an expansion team and did not take the Cleveland history with them.
Yep. Just imagine a tweet in like 6 months from now. There's going to be a tweet that you're going to see, and it's going to say, "Congratulations, Teemu Selanne, for becoming the all-time leading scorer for the Utah Yeti," because the records go with him. That's going to happen. He's currently the all-time. Wait, is it Selanne or is it Howard Chuck? Someone from Winnipeg is. I don't like when they take the records with them. I think it's dumb.
Utah Stingers, someone said. Okay, that would go with the.
If you're doing that, though, that should be Salt Lake Stingers.
Salt Lake Stingers. Okay,
I just think Salt Lake sounds better. Now, they might not want to because of branding, right? And they might want the whole state to be like, the market is the whole state, right? Not just the city. So I guess I would understand if they do Utah, but I think every team name I hear that starts with Salt Lake just always sounds better.
We will. Now, I do want to talk about real quick when we come back. Masters champion Scottie Scheffler. One of the criticisms of him is he's too boring. Does that matter? Let's kick that around for a couple minutes when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses his second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to you. They almost play with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
He did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
A man of the people. I love that call. So that was, who was the player?
Boban. I don't even try his last name. If you know Boban, you know Boban. He's a 7'4" hulking giant. He's lovable.
One of the first things I saw was this clip this morning when I woke up. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm looking at the time. So I thought to myself, oh, free chicken, because they're the road team, first of all, the road team. Okay?
Yep.
And it said... And I'm thinking, okay, is it because if they hold the team to a certain amount of points, everybody gets free chicken, like a chicken sandwich or something? But there's still 5 minutes left in the game. So what happened here? So tell me, how did everybody get free chicken?
So, yeah, if a player on the opposing team misses back-to-back free throws, then everybody in the arena gets free chicken sandwiches or free chicken, whatever. So Boban missed the first one. And the crowd started going, like, started getting up, like, all right, one more for free chicken. And Boban looks around the crowd, and he's like, points to it, so like, I got you. I got you. And then he misses the second one on purpose. As he's backing up, he raises a finger to the sky and gets a massive ovation.
I love it.
Super cool.
I love it.
I do wonder, I meant to look, what his coach said about it?
Right.
Okay, so the game didn't matter. Like, they have already been eliminated. It's the final game of the season. It doesn't matter for the Clippers either. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter for anybody. It's an 8-point game with 6 minutes left.
Like, oh, I'm sure he wasn't happy.
His coach is probably, I would appreciate a coach that would have a, like a Stan Van Gundy, I feel like would be like, okay, like laughing along with it. I don't know what this Udoku though would think. Like, there's some coaches that might be like, what are you doing? This is still a basketball game.
Oh, not only that, Joe, I think there were gamblers mad.
Maybe
some happy, but you know,
case too.
Right? I mean, like that, a big deal now is the gambling. And that's one of the first things I thought of was, you know, you got to be careful with stuff like that.
Yeah. We're going to get to golf here in a second. Yeah. I just want one thought on this I wanted to get across today in the NBA. Victor Wembanyama, he has been so good the last couple months of the year. Like, he's figured out the NBA. He is now in the running for Defensive Player of the Year because he blocks everybody. He is. Think LeBron to Steph is like a 5-inch difference.
Yeah.
That's how much taller he is than Jokic. Like, watching him block Jokic, and here's the stat where, you know, the whole league, the whole NBA, you better win your championship this year. Wembanyama, who is 7'5", has the highest step-back three-point percentage in the league.
Amazing.
Better than Steph.
Remember when it was he is the greatest prospect in any sport ever, like kind of discussion, and maybe that's coming to fruition. All right, Scottie Scheffler wins the Masters. I tweeted yesterday, he's just a machine, and a few people said, but he's so boring. He's so boring. He is boring. I don't care. He's great. I don't care if he's boring. I love watching greatness.
He is great. I like watching him too, right? It's different than Tiger, right? Tiger was intense.
Yeah.
So you're not getting that.
You're not getting a Bryson DeChambeau. He's a crazy person.
A
character.
Yeah.
He's a cartoon character.
Yeah. I can't decide. I like watching him a lot. He's so good, and some of the shots he hits, and he's consistent. You don't have the personality or the character there, but it's golf. It's not like that's normal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not common, I think. Like, is Morikawa... If he had won, yes. Is Morikawa that much? But maybe he is. I don't even know. I don't watch that golf documentary that Netflix has. But I agree with you in most part. Like, I just want to watch greatness. If he starts rattling off major after major, if he's chasing, you know what'll be interesting? If he's chasing like a slam, everyone will be into it.
The only thing that's boring to me about it, I'm like, yeah, I get it. I understand the personality. That's what they mean. The only boring part to me is like he's the only one. He's dominating right now.
Right.
I know the other people, and John Rahm's out there, and there are some other guys, but it's just like, okay, Scottie Scheffler's in the tournament. He's probably going to win. That's what you think when he's in it.
He was even money to win yesterday, like when everyone was tied. It's crazy.
It's incredible. All right, so let me set up the week for everybody. Today, the Bills began off-season workouts. That's going to happen. They have 3 days this week, I believe. They can only go 3 out of 5. I think that's what the CBA says. Either way, we're going to have media at some point this week. We'll keep you updated on when that is, to hear from players, coaches, GM, Brendan Bean down at One Bills Drive. Sabres wrap up the season tonight, 6 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock puck drops down in Tampa. And then, of course, they'll have locker clean out, and then we'll have media with them as well at some point after the season. Got a lot going on with the NFL draft coming up as well. So we have a lot more to get to this week. Sabres live up next. One Bills live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh, oh.